Ephesians chapter number 2. You know, I was praying over this list, probably very similar to yours, and I was just thinking about, I was thinking about David there. Brother Van shared his name, and I was thinking, Lord, you knew about all that, and you put that all together. David didn't know that he was just renting an apartment, but little did he know that across the way was going to be hope. Thinking of those, for some reason, sounds like a gentleman not from around here put his application into a place where he was going to be within range of the gospel. And I'm thankful for bold witnesses and people that aren't ashamed of the gospel and are willing to share others. And some I thought they were just going to be a little bus monitor. They didn't know that missionary Dara Jabisky was going to be there with the gospel in hand and ready to distribute. And thankful for that. You praise the Lord, and you all do that. And that's a kind of what we're talking about here tonight. Ephesians chapter number 2, in verse 11. Wherefore remember, ever forget stuff? The older I get, the more I forget. I was up in my office, and I came all the way down. The printer's down at this end of the building. So I went from my office down to the printer. I got to the printer. There's nothing on the printer. I'm like, what am I even doing down here? So I went back up into my office. I'm sitting, that's what I had to do. So I walked all the way back down, got distracted again. I'm currently up to almost 10,000 steps today. Simply just by forgetting things. Last Sunday, we had our Talents for Christ here, and Friday, and then were displayed on Sunday. And Mr. Parrott came up to me, and he's like, he was talking to Isaiah, and he said, Mr. Parrott worked on satellites, and he said, Isaiah, you didn't do the project that I worked on. And he's like, well, what one was that? And imagine being able to talk about satellite stuff. And maybe you're in your life, you were part of a special project at work or school, or maybe you were on a sports team that won states that year. And, you were just five guys and you came together as a basketball team. And there you are, Hoosier style and you, whatever. I don't know. Maybe there was something like that, or a work project that finally came together. And you look at that and, wow, that was kind of great to be part of something so special there. Let's read this passage with that in mind. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ. Hey, remember being without Christ? I'm 45 years old. That means that coming this June, I'll have been saved 35 years. It's tough for me to remember being without Christ. Paul encourages us, hey, just for a minute, remember what it was like without Christ. Remember that. Say, why would I want to think about that? Those were dark times. Those were bad times. And he says, exactly. I don't want you to forget that, because there's some people out there, Brother Gustin, that have no hope. Bible says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Thank you for the blood of Christ. Amen. Took us from aliens and strangers and changed our eternal destiny. The Bible says, for he is our peace. Hey, you didn't have peace outside of Christ. He's the Prince of Peace. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 14. And hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Hey, there was something blocking us between us and God. What was it? It was my sin. Our iniquities have separated us from God. And Jesus said, I'll just knock that thing right down. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself twain one new man, so making peace. And that ye might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. As we read this passage, it takes us down memory lane a little bit. Reminds us of what we were like without Christ. Hopeless. Multiple times in that passage, without peace. You are far off. Hey, that's not where I want to be with God. I don't want to be afar off. I want to be close. That's where he found us. That's what he did for us. Now look at verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Hey, we started with a separated past. In verse 12, it reminds us again, we were aliens. We were strangers. Hey, if my kids come to me and say, Dad, there's a stranger at the door. You better know, I don't care what I'm doing. All of a sudden, that gets my attention. Hey, an unwanted or unexpected guest is there. Guest is used very lightly. A stranger comes walking into the yard. A number of years ago, there was a guy out back, and he had these headphones on, and he had this little metal detector, and he was walking through our yard. Excuse me. Sir, what are you doing in my yard? Oh, I'm sorry. This is an old ground here, and I was just looking for something. I talked to that neighbor. You didn't talk to me. And you're a stranger in my property. I went inside, told him it was all right, but I'm telling you, I was watching him because he was a stranger. Strangers aren't welcomed necessarily. The Bible uses you and your past now in verse 19. Not only were you strangers and aliens, but it says here, foreigners. Ever been a foreigner? Savannah, have you ever been a foreigner? You kind of stand out when we take you to Africa. No offense. And Trinidad, and all those places. Brother Glisson, you know what it's like to be a foreigner? You kind of stand out a little bit. You're not quite home. You don't feel comfortable anywhere. You don't understand the customs. You don't understand what's going on. You just don't got a place to pillow your head necessarily to call home. You got no peace. He says, that's what you were like. That's how I found you. So what's the problem with being a stranger, a foreigner? Well, normally they're somewhat unwelcomed. Usually not wanted. Hey, you go set up on someone else's property for a little while. See how they like it. Hey, get off my lawn. Now, of course, the love of Christ should come out. Get off my lawn, take this pie and a gospel tract, but get out of here, right? I mean, that's kind of what we would do. What's the problem with being a stranger and a foreigner, an alien with God? Well, I'll tell you, you have no hope. There's no hope. Imagine, go to Psalm 34. Imagine not being able to claim this promise. See, sometimes we forget what it was like. Imagine going through the trials of life and the heartaches of sin and the travails of iniquity and not being able to call out to God. Psalm 34, look at verse 17. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth. Imagine crying out to God and not hearing. Why? Because you're a stranger. You're an alien. Hey, you've got a problem with sin. We got to work on this relationship first. Imagine not having the outlet of these verses. And the Lord heareth and delivereth them that are out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Hey, there's a lot of broken-hearted people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and are literally all alone. Imagine not being able to claim these promises. That'd be tough. That's why they have no hope. They need to make the Lord their Savior. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they shall hate the righteous. They that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants. None of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Imagine trying to wander through life. Imagine having no hope. Imagine not being able to claim these promises. Go back to Ephesians chapter number 2. What else did it say? It said, and without God in the world. Hey, I don't know about you, but this world is upside down backwards. It is regularly calling evil good and good evil. And they make, and that's the foundation of which they're building on. Imagine going through this world without God. Not being able to cast all your care upon him. Not being able to be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known unto God, who then gives us peace. Imagine not being able to do that. Imagine struggling with things. We got some young people that have some friends that are struggling with things. You know what they need? They need the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. And Paul says this. He goes, hey, I want you to remember that just for a minute. I want you to remember what it felt like for a minute. Here, let me describe that to you. You were hopeless. I think of what Brother Chris, when he brought that word out, hope. Man, I was like, that's it. That was the tears filled my eyes. Like, that's it. Because they're without God, they have no hope. There they are at some coffee shop in the middle of who knows where, and all of a sudden, a divine appointment, and hope showed up that day. But when we forget, Jay, Mrs. Rice, Mr. Jabisky, you all went through a similar thing with your ankle. You see someone on those cart, pushing one of those carts and stuff, or those little, you know, wheelie scooter things that they got now, or crutches, and you know what? You don't go, oh, I got to get around this guy. No, you look at that and go, man, I know what you're going through. And your heart breaks a little bit for that. Why? Because you remember when you were there. That's why the Lord has us. Hey, I want you to walk down memory lane a little bit and remember when you were hopeless and without God. Why? Because it'll help you recognize those that are around you that are like that. You had a separated past, but the wall was broken down by Christ. And now, in chapter 2 and verse 19, but now your fellow citizens. Hey, do you see the difference from stranger to fellow citizen? A foreigner to fellow citizen? That's the opposite. Poor Brother Glisson and Mrs. Glisson, every 6 months they got to leave the country for an extended period of time, you know, apply for a visa and come back again. They're not a fellow citizen. That's inconvenient. That's different. Now, look at what God calls us. Fellow citizens. Household of God. That's not a stranger anymore. You can call this place home now. Isn't that a blessing? You see the difference? You see the comparison? We got an alien. We got a foreigner. Now he says, no. Now through me, you're a fellow citizen. You are welcomed. Man, I'm telling you, when you travel and you take that 15-hour plane ride and all of a sudden your foot touches down and everybody's talking like you again and all the signs are in your language and it's like, I don't care, I'm home. Go ahead. Go ahead, customs. Ask me whatever you want. Right, Mrs. Rice? Go ahead. I'm in the United States of America. I'm home. Get me to Shake Shack. Get me to... I'm ready to... Because I'm a fellow citizen here. Says of the household of God. That's the opposite of stranger. You're part of the group now. You're with the saints. You're part of the family. These people in this building are no longer strangers and aliens. They're your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's how we should be treating one another. And as it continues, in verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I asked you maybe at the beginning of the message here today, were you part of a special project at work or maybe through school or a sports team or something like that where you did accomplish something worthwhile and it was good and you worked together and you toiled and I was talking to Mr. Faulkner and he was telling me a little bit about Nathan in school and he pulled an all-nighter to get a project done and the rest of the group abandoned and he stayed up till 7 o'clock in the morning getting that thing done. And then at the end, it's like, here, I feel good about that. I did that. So why do you bring that up? Because, hey, ladies and gentlemen, here tonight, you're part of something. You're part of something great. What is that? It's the family of God. You're built upon the foundation. Hey, there's a foundation that's been laid by the apostles and the prophets themselves, but the chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 2. Hey, you're part of something great. You got in on something. You went from an alien and a stranger to a fellow citizen and part of the household. 1 Peter chapter number 2, look at verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And isn't that a blessing? Seeing things how they really are. And unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same as made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Hey, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. For those that believe, you know what it is? It is a sure foundation. For those that don't, it is a trouble to them. But we're built on something that's going to last. To the believer, he is the foundation. To the lost, he is the trouble. We have part of, you have part of something. You have a spot in something that's great. It's not an accident he refers to us and Peter there and here as a temple. Look at Ephesians chapter number 2, and we're almost done. In verse 21, it says this, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. There was no building more important in the Old Testament than the temple. I don't think he uses that word by accident. In 1 Corinthians, it asks the question, what? Know ye not? Go there, 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. In verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the what? Temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hey, you're part of something great. Holy Spirit of God is inside of you. He's got a purpose and a plan for you. He's going to take all these pieces here. He's going to put it together. He's going to say, I'm the foundation. I'm the chief cornerstone. You're going to build upon me, and you're going to be part of something that's going to last for eternity. Serving the Lord is no waste of time at all. So I don't know. I just don't. Is it really worthwhile? Is it worth the investment? Is it worth the time? 100% worth it all. You're part of something great. I hope you can see that before it's over. Sometimes it takes looking back and go, wow, that was something there. Didn't realize what God was doing. All the parts coming together is so important. As we go back to Ephesians chapter number 2. Number 1, we had a separated past. Number 2, we are now accepted in Christ. Number 3, unlike pretty much anything I know, it's built to last. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. There's so many people in this world that don't feel like they have a part of anything. Feel like I'm just wasting my life. Well, get in on the things of God. Because there's a home here. There's a fellow citizenship here. And we're all working towards the same thing. What is that? The honor and glory of God. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, but Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Part of something great. Don't forget that. This is no light thing. This is the thing that's going to last for all eternity. Not based on you and I, it's based on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you here tonight. You're part of something. You're an integral and important part of the work of God. I'm telling you, those testimonies, or those prayer requests touched my heart tonight. Hey, pray for this. I was talking to this one, or I was talking to that one. Man, praise the Lord. May you be encouraged. Remember, there's a world out there without Christ. So how does it look? Dismal at best. They're without God in this world, therefore they have no hope. What do we have? We have hope. They have no peace. We have peace. They have no love. What do we have? We have a household of God, fellow citizens. You know what? I was a stranger. I was wandering through someone's yard. I shouldn't have been there. Instead of kicking me out, he said, you know what? I'm going to kick this wall down. Why don't you come on in? I'll make a way. That's only through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. It is good to be a child of God. We have hope, we have peace, and we have love. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed tonight. Part of something great. Appreciate the Glissons. I hope you keep them on your prayer list and be praying for them. And I know they greatly value those prayers. And if you see three boys walking around that you don't know, it's their grandsons. And make sure, don't trip them. Don't be mean. Be nice. Don't pinch them. Miss Colby, no pinching the kids. All right. All right. Very good. Good to be in church tonight. Thankful for just a... And we were singing that song, Shelter in the Time of Storm. I know, I'm not talking about the rain. You know, sometimes midweek, it's nice to just come in a little bit, sing and see our friends, fellow laborers, fellow citizens, part of the household of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for that great passage. Just so touched my heart. God, we're part of something great. It's not about us, it's about you. Lord, you've made it great. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Help us to see that. Help us to remember that. Help us to reach to those that have no hope, that are without you, Lord. Lord, thank you for these bold witnesses here tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to give them opportunity and wisdom about these things. Lord, we love you. We need you. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.